Well, go ahead and turn in your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings chapter 19, of course, that's Old Testament. And after you get to Joshua and Judges and 1 and 2 Samuel, then you have 1 Kings and 1 Kings chapter 19. And we're going to talk about a subject this morning that really we don't talk about that much. And it's the issue of depression and how people are affected by it. It hits a lot of different people. There's some people with personalities, you look at them and you think, oh, they'd never be depressed. And then there's people, you look at them and you think maybe they're depressed all the time. But the truth is this, people get affected and people get depressed. We're going to look at the life of Elijah, a prophet of God, a man used by God, a man who stood for God against the wicked King Ahab of the northern empire of Israel and his wicked wife Jezebel. We'll talk more about that in just a minute. And we're going to see what happened to him. And as we look at this passage, we're going to focus on several things. We're going to look at Elijah's depression. What caused it? How did it happen? The cause and effects of depression. And then we're going to see the second thing is God's dealing with Elijah. And what we can do is as we look through this, we can talk about the cause of depression and we can talk about how to help somebody who's depressed or even how to help ourselves. And so we want to see that as we go through it. So there's some great things there. I've been a pastor really right at 34 years. And there's been some great times, and then there's been some sad times. I can remember this. This was a number of years ago. I got a phone call at 1:30 in the morning. Now, if you're a pastor and you get a call at 1:30 in the morning, it's either a joke or it's something bad. And sometimes with a name like James Bond, people used to call and just say, hey, James Bond, you know, and it didn't matter what time it was. And I'd say, thank you so much for calling. And then, may Jesus bless you. And then, you know, hang up. But I got a call one morning about 1:30, and they said there had been a death in the church. And the people told me that there was a death in a family. The police called me, and it was a 19-year-old college girl. And she was living in an apartment, and she killed herself. And I talked to her mama and said that she had been taking some medicine, but as far as everybody knew, she was fine. And none of us knew about this. I had to go tell her brothers and sisters. They were like 8 and 9 years old, so it was really a tough time. Apparently, she'd become depressed, discouraged, saw no hope, and ended her life. And depression does that. It takes people from highs to lows. A depressed person is not thinking correctly. They're not thinking in the right way. It's a warped view of life. They see no hope. Probably you can identify with that. Probably most of us in this room, we've been depressed at different times. Not clinical depression where we have to, you know, take all kind of medicine or things. But probably many of us, there are times in our lives where we get down, we get depressed, we get discouraged. We look at things in the wrong way. And so what we want to see is from the life of Elijah, one of the great men of the Bible. And we're going to see what happened to him. And we're going to see what God did. And what we can do for each other. So let's start this way and let's talk about Elijah. Elijah was a prophet. There was a wicked king named Ahab. He had a wife named Jezebel. She was more wicked than he is. In fact, she controlled everything. She was one of the most wicked women, probably one of the most wicked women in the whole Bible. And she worshipped Baal. And so the king of Israel worshipped Baal, not the true God, but Baal. And she had and paid and took care of 450 prophets of Baal. She paid their way. And so she worshipped a false god. And Elijah stood for God. He's the one that prayed that it wouldn't rain. It didn't rain for 3.5 years, basically. And he's that guy. And one day he got in a big battle and he said, let's make a decision. If Baal is God, worship him. If the true God is God, worship him. Let's have a contest. So they built two altars. He brought in the 450 prophets of Baal, which were like their priest. And he said, let's have a contest. Let's build an altar, call down. Whichever one gets fire first is the true God. He said, you can go first. He stood over the side. He let them build an altar. They started and they worshiped 3 or 4 hours. They cut themselves. They danced around the altar. They did everything. No fire. Elijah built his altar, called God. Fire came down, burned the whole thing up. People jumped on him, killed all 450 of the prophets and said, God is God. So then Ahab finds out about this and he goes to tell Jezebel what happened to her prophets. And so look at chapter 19. Look at verse 1 as Ahab goes to tell Jezebel. It says in chapter 19, verse 1. Now Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with a sword. F.B. Meyer wrote something like this. This is what he says. He says, pretending. He said, she says to him when he comes in, how have things gone today? No doubt very well. The rain has come. Bell has spoken. And then he says, I have nothing good to tell you that will give you pleasure. What has happened? The worst has happened. What do you mean? Where are my priests? You will never see them again. What do you mean, never again? What do you mean? They're all dead. By this time, their bodies are floating out to sea. She says, who has done this? How could they die? Where is Elijah? And she knew. And so as we look at verse 1, Ahab tells Jezebel that Elijah killed her prophets. What's going to happen? What's going to happen? Look at verse 2. And this is the message. The message to Elijah. Look what it says. Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, so may the gods do to me and even more if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. You know what she says? About this time tomorrow, you'll be dead. I'm going to kill you. I'm going to kill you. About this time tomorrow, you will be dead. Think about it. He had trusted God when he prayed that it wouldn't rain. He trusted God when he went to Ahab 2 or 3 different times. He trusted God in all the areas of his life. And now Jezebel, this woman, says, you got about 24 hours, and if you're still here in town in 24 hours from today, you're a dead man. I'll have people kill you. On your handout, it says, what was Jezebel's message to Elijah? She said he would die. There's a typo there. It doesn't say what was Elijah's purpose. It should say what was Elijah's response. See, she said this, if I will kill you if you're still here tomorrow. Well, what do you think he's going to do? Think about this. You're Elijah. God speaks to you. He called down fire. All you did as Elijah, you put the altar up and you said, true God, bring down fire. Fire came down immediately. You killed 450 prophets of Baal. You stood before Ahab and you've called him the troubler of Israel. You've done all of this. And this woman says to you, if you're here tomorrow, I'll kill you. So what does he do? He runs away. He runs away. Think about this. When he went to Ahab, he trusted God. When he went by the brook where there wasn't any water, he trusted God. With the wind, he trusted God. When it was on the mountain, he trusted God. But when this woman said, if you're here tomorrow, I'll kill you, he didn't. He left. Look at verse 3. And he was afraid. He was afraid and arose and ran for his life, and he came to Beersheba, which belonged to Judah, and he left his servant there. He took off, and he went all the way south. He went as far south in the land of Israel. You can go to a city called Beersheba. Dan's all the way to the north. Beersheba's all the way in the south. They always say from Dan to Beersheba. Beersheba's the lowest, the farthest away. What happened to him? He just had the greatest what? Victory of his life, and now he's running. And there's a truth. Sometimes when things go great, or when you use up all your energy, or something big happens, it's like a big Sunday or a big something or a big event in your life, after it's over, you have a down. And I think what happened is he had a down. And after this momentous time, just calling on God, killing the 400 prophets of Baal, when this happened, it was all he could take. And he said, I'm out of here. I'm out of here. I can't do it. Irvin Jensen said, we have Elijah, a man physically exhausted, frightened, terribly discouraged, and running for his life. Look what it says in verse 4. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. Oh, by the way, the very end of verse 3 says, and he left his servant there. When he came to Beersheba, he went off by himself. He had a servant that helped him. He said, you just stay here. I'm gone. And he left him. And he's by himself. He went himself a day's journey into the wilderness. He came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might what? What does he say? I'd like to die. And he said, it's enough now, O Lord. Take my life. I'm not better than my father. In this passage, we see Elijah's depression, the cause and effects of this, and we see how God deals with Elijah. Now, let me tell you, if Elijah, who just stood before the whole nation of Israel and called God to call down fire, and God gave him the victory, here's the man who prayed that it wouldn't rain. It didn't rain for 3 years. Then he prayed it would rain, and it rained. He's done all of these great things, and now he says, I'm not worth a flip. I'm not worth anything. Just go ahead and let me die. We'd say, let you, what, you're a prophet of God. What do you mean let you die? You're not thinking right, right? And sometimes in our lives, sometimes big things happen, some other times, and we say things like, I just don't see, I don't see any reason to go on. I don't see any reason. So let's look at Elijah's depression, cause and effects. Let me give them to you. Here's the first thing. He was seeing the circumstances rather than the promises. See, what did he see? He saw Jezebel. He saw this wicked woman who he knew had killed many people. She is, I would say, in the whole history of the nation of Israel, besides Manasseh, who was probably, they call the worst king, Jezebel may be the worst person because she influenced Ahab so much to do so many bad things. And so instead of looking at God and the promises and the power of God, and God is the one who can call down fire if he wants to, instead of all that, what did he do? He looked at the circumstances. He saw Jezebel. He saw that he was worn out. He saw that he just can't make it. He didn't think about God's power and protection, which he's had all this time. And sometimes we do the same thing. You remember when Peter walked on the water? You remember? Jesus walking on the water. Peter's there. Peter says, if that's you, Lord, call me to come out. Command me to come out. Jesus said, come out. Peter's coming out. Everything's fine until he looks at the circumstances. He's looking at Jesus. He's walking on the water. Then it says he saw the wind and the waves and began to sink. Anytime we put our focus on the circumstances of life, it could get us down. Because we could say, well, this doesn't look good. Oh, this doesn't look, I don't think this is going to work. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. This whole thing broke. I don't know, what are we going to do? And that's what happens when we see the circumstances rather than the promises. And sometimes in your life, and sometimes in my life, I'm looking at the wrong thing. Instead of looking at the word of God and the promises from God, he'll never leave me or forsake me. What shall I fear? I can do all things through the one who strengthens me. Instead of looking at that, I'm looking at what's going on. There's a second thing. And the wrong thinking occurs. Elijah said, I'm worthless. Let me die. Let me ask you a question. Would you think Elijah's worthless? When you think of prophets in the Old Testament, everybody thinks of prophets and they think of Daniel and they think of Elijah, they think of Isaiah, they think of these famous people. Elijah's one of the famous ones. Elijah's the one that called down fire from heaven. I mean, that's what you, and you want to say, so you're worthless? He had done so many great things. But you know what we often do? We often focus on our failures rather than our successes. We always think about, well, I didn't do very good here. Oh, I messed up here. Our focus is on this. We say we're nothing. Do you know who we are? We're God's children, created in his power, redeemed by him, used by him. God's love never changes. Sometimes we mess up, we do wrong, and we think that God doesn't love us anymore. And we say, well, I'm nothing. The truth is, you are a child of God. You have trusted in Jesus Christ as Savior. He's made you his child. He's made you his ambassador. He's given you the spiritual gifts, talents, abilities. He's given you the Bible. He's given you each other. We've got everything. And sometimes we look at it and say, I'm nothing. I'm nothing. F.B. Meyer said this, it's not difficult to believe that God loves us when we're singing and serving, but it's hard to believe when we feel exiled by our sins. God loved Elijah on the mountain. Is he loving him under the tree? There's a third cause, and that is this, that he's physically and emotional. There's physical and emotional exhaustion. Let me tell you something. You may not know this, but before it rained, you remember it didn't rain for 3 years, and Elijah went to Ahab the prophet, went to Ahab the king and said, you better get home. It's about to really come down a big rain. It hadn't rained in 3 years. And all of a sudden, a cloud started coming. It got bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And so Ahab was in a chariot, and he was riding in his chariot. And Elijah outran the chariot. The Bible says that he ran alongside and passed Ahab as they were going. And we're not talking about a mile. It was like an 18-mile trip. So you understand, Elijah has just run 18 miles faster than a horse. I'm serious. That's what it says in the scripture. He went running by him. How you doing, King? Good to see you. You know, you can see that. He's worn out. Think of the emotion involved in standing before the entire nation and saying, God is God, you build your altar and let's see what happens. And you know, they built that altar and they were jumping around and he was standing there joking with them. He said, maybe your God's asleep. Maybe your God's gone to the bathroom. That's what he actually said. Maybe your God's in the bathroom. That's why he can't come. And then he called down from God and the fire came. He's used up everything. He's used up everything. And sometimes after we do a lot of stuff, after we do big stuff, after we do all kind of things, we're worn out. They say to pastors a lot of times, do you ever feel like resigning? And they say, every Monday. It's true. Because you use all this energy and excitement and people and teaching and loving and everything. And then when it's over, you go, yeah, wow. And sometimes on Monday, I go, yeah, I don't feel very good. I don't know why I don't feel good. You know why I don't feel good? I've used everything up. And sometimes on Monday, I feel almost depressed. Sometimes I sort of am, but most of the time I'm not. But I feel down on Mondays. Why? Because I've used it all up. Seeing everybody, talking to everybody, loving everybody, teaching them out. You know, a lot of people say, oh, well, you're just teaching. You want to come up here and do this? It takes a lot of energy to teach the Word of God. It's so exciting. So Elijah is worn completely out. And then here's the last thing. He's isolated himself. He got off by himself. He left his servant. He's gone. He gets depressed. And you know what happens when people get depressed? What do? They get off by themselves. Look, I had a friend that it was a lady. She was depressed. I used to go to her house to see her husband. She, I'm not making this up, for over a two-year time period, she never came out of her bedroom. Never came out of her bedroom over a two-year time period. Sometimes when these kind of things happen, we just say, I'm going to be by myself. I don't want anybody around me. I don't want anybody around me. I'm worthless. I don't see any future. I don't see any hope. I don't see anything. So sometimes when we're depressed, we see the problems rather than the promises. We have that wrong thinking. What does he say? I'm worthless. Let me die. There's physical and emotional exhaustion, and he's isolated. He's done it all. See, in our lives, we've got to recognize that sometimes we overdo it physically and emotionally. Sometimes there's a great high. Expect a low. I expect to not feel great on Mondays. People say, why don't you work on Monday? I take Monday as my day off because I don't want to feel bad here. Right? So for some of you, you have a giant project at work. You put all your heart and soul in it. You finally get it done. And how do you feel? You're worn completely out. And this is what happens. Sometimes there's a great high, expect a great low. Sometimes there's depression, and we need to look for it. Now, what did God do? What did he do? And what he did, what we see God doing, is some things that we can do to help ourselves and to help other people as they're going through something like this. So let's look at God's dealing with Elijah. And what we're going to see is six things. Six things that God did for Elijah in this passage. And I think it'll help us. And we'll go through it. Let's look at the first one. The first one is that he gave Elijah physical provision, rest and food. What? Look at verse 5. He lay down and slept under a juniper tree. And behold, who came? Who came? There was a what? An angel. Where did that angel come from? Came from God. There was this angel touching him, woke him up and said, hey, eat something. He looked around and behold, there was his head, was bread baked on hot stones and a jar of water. So he ate and drank, lay down again. Angel of the Lord came a second time and said, rise and eat. The journey, you're going to go on a journey and you need some food. So he arose and he ate and he drank and he went into the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the mountain of God. What did God do for him? He said, rest, eat. You've gone through a lot. Sometimes when we're depressed, what we need to do is rest. You need to take a break. You need to get something to eat. You need to relax. You need to say, I need to recover. I'm worn completely out. And in our lives, all of you in this room, there are times when it's just too much. Things have come in so much, you spent everything, and you need to rest. You need to relax. Second, God allowed Elijah to ventilate his feelings. He needs to tell what he's feeling. Talk about it. He's going to go into a cave. He's going to send him to a cave. Watch. Look at verse 9. Then he came to a cave, and he lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said to him, what is he going to say to Elijah? What are you doing here, Elijah? He doesn't mean, what are you doing here? He knows he's there. He's the one that got him there. He's saying, what's going on? Let's talk about it. Tell me what's happening. See, sometimes in our lives, we need to talk about what's going on. Sometimes you need a friend or somebody, and you, when you're down, you're depressed, when you're worn out, you need somebody to say, let me tell you what's going on. I'm completely worn out. I know I'm thinking wrong. And they listen to you. They're your friend. Here's what God does for Elijah. He says, what are you doing here? Tell me what's going on. So he lets Elijah express himself. Look what Elijah says. I'm zealous. That's true. The nation's turned away. That's true. They killed the prophet. That's true. I'm the only one left. Uh-oh. That's not true. Look what he says, verse 10. I have been very zealous for the Lord. That's true. The God of hosts. For the sons of Israel have forsaken your covenant. That's true. The nation's turned away from God. They've torn down your altars. They killed your prophets with the sword. That's all true. And I alone am left, and they seek my life to take it away. What's he saying? I'm the only one left. Now God said, what's going on with you? And he says, all this stuff is happening. Sometimes in our life that you need somebody to say, all this stuff is happening to me. And you need to talk about it. And there's some people say, no, just don't tell anybody. You got to talk about it. That's why he put us in the body of Christ. That's why we are there. It's so wrong thinking. Notice the wrong thinking when we said he was thinking wrong. He said, I'm the only one left. That's not really true. He didn't know. I have a friend that he's up and down. And when he's down, he's really down. And what he tells me is every time he's down, he says, I'm worthless. I'm the worst sinner in the world. And I said, no, you're not the worst sinner in the world. Paul was worst. Paul said he was the worst sinner. So you're at least number two. Okay, so you're not the worst, right? But he says, I'm the worst sinner. I don't deserve anything. God shouldn't take me to heaven. I said, well, that's all true, but you're not the worst. And you're looking at things the wrong way. And see, that's what happens. We get that wrong thinking, right? Here's the third thing God did. So first thing is he done is he gave him some food. The second thing is he done, he's nourished him. Second thing he's done, he's listened to him. He's given him a chance to talk. The third thing is this. God showed Elijah that he's in control. God showed Elijah that he's in control. Look at verse 11. So he said, go forth and stand on the mountain before the Lord. So Elijah went and stood on the mountain. And behold, the Lord was passing by, and a great strong wind was rending the mountain and breaking to pieces the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. And the wind and the earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. He was saying that God's causing all that, but there's a reason for it. This is, and the earthquake, and there was a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, there was the sound of the gentle blowing. And what is he saying? God's causing all this to happen. And God's saying, listen, Elijah, I control everything. This is, you're not in fate. This is not something that just happened. You're not on your own. I'm in control of all things. There was the strong wind, and there was the earthquake, and there was the fire and the gentle breeze. Now, God gives him a second counseling time. So this is what I want you to know, that sometimes when you talk with a friend and they tell you things and it seems to help, that's good. But there may be times you need to talk to them again. And they need to come to you again and say, hey, how you doing? And you say, they say, well, I'm getting better. Well, let's talk some more. Let's talk some more. Look at verse 13. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face around the mantle. He went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. And behold, a voice came to him and said, what's God going to do? What are you doing here, Elijah? It's the same question. What are you doing here? I'm asking you again, how you doing? How you feeling? Same question. Guess what? Gets the same answer, doesn't he? Then he said, I've been zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, the sons of Israel, for sake of the covenant. They've torn down your altars, the prophet's sword, and I alone am left, and they seek my life to take it away. It's the exact same answer. If you were a counselor, you'd say, I don't think you're getting any better, right? The same answer as last time. But he actually is getting better. And when we think about this, what has God done for him? He's gave him physical provision. He's let him talk. He's shown that he's God's power and control. And now he does something else. Watch what it is. He gives Elijah a new responsibility. He does it. You think you're worthless? Well, God said, no, you can still serve me. In fact, look what he does in verse 16. The Lord said to him, verse 15, the Lord said to him, go and return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. He's got to go all the way back north, by the way. It's a long trip. Go back to Damascus, and when you arrive, you shall anoint Hazael, king of Aram, and Jehu, the son of Nimshi, you shall anoint him king over Israel, and Elisha, the son of Shaphat of Abel-Meholah, you shall anoint as prophet in your place. He said, I'm giving you a responsibility. See, what has he been saying? I am what? Worthless. No. God said, no, you're not worthless. I got something for you to do. I got something for you to do. And whenever you start saying, I don't think God will ever use me again, God says, wait a minute, what are you doing? I'm going to use you right now. I will use you as long as you're alive. I want you to understand something. If you're out here and you think God can't use you or won't use you, as long as you're breathing, he will take you and use you for his glory. He's going to take Elijah, and he says, Elijah, is what I want you to do. I want you to anoint Hazael as king over Syria. That's 2 Kings chapter 8. That's what's going to happen. And I want you to anoint Jehu as king over Israel, 2 Kings chapter 9. And I want you to anoint Elisha as a prophet. See, Elijah is a prophet. He said, I'm gonna pick up, let's get another prophet. He said, I want you to do all of these things. He's not through with us. And let me tell you, when you're discouraged and you think it's over and you think you're worthless and you think it doesn't matter and you don't see any hope, God is not through with you. He's gonna take you and use you for his glory, and he will do it. He takes us and uses us. Listen, deal with your sin. If you got sin in your life, confess your sin. He's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us. And then he'll just use you. It's never too late to allow God to use your life. And here's old Elijah. He thinks it's all over, and he's down by this tree and everything. And God's in a cave. And he's, no. There's an old saying that says, in God's service, our greatest ability is our availability. And he goes on in verse 17, and look what he says. It's pretty tough. It shall come about that one who escapes from the sword of Hazael, Jehu, will put to death, and the one who escapes from the sword of Jehu, Elijah, shall put to death. Listen, these people are going to be killing a lot of people. You think, are you sure you want me to do this? Yeah, because there's going to be a new king of Assyria. There's going to be a new king of Israel. The old king of Israel is Ahab, and his wife is Jezebel. He tells him, you don't need to worry about them anymore. It's going to be a new king of Israel. See, a new king. Because Ahab is married to Jezebel, but he's fixing to go anoint another king. Another king. Jehu's going to be the king. You know what Jehu's going to do? He rides in his chariot real fast. He's a fast rider. And they see him coming. He comes riding up to Ahab, and he puts Ahab to death, kills him. He comes into the city. Jezebel is standing out the window. She's old by this time. She says she's got her face all painted. And as he comes into the city, she leans out the window and says, you wicked, wicked man. And he says, no, you're wicked. If you're on my side, throw her out the window. And their servants just throw her out the window, and the horses run over and stomp her to death. That's what happens to Jezebel. Jehu did that. It's amazing. But there's something else. God showed Elijah he wasn't alone. God shows Elijah he's not alone. Look at verse 18. He said, yet I will leave 8,000 in Israel, all the knees that have not bowed to Baal and every mouth that has not kissed him. He said, look, you're not the only one. How many people are left worshiping the true God? At least what? 7,000. See, Elijah said, I think I'm the only one. No, you're not the only one. There's 7,000 more people out there. 7,000 who have not worshiped Baal. He said, I've got. Did you know while Ahab and Jezebel were killing all the prophets, one of the servants of Ahab had hidden 100 prophets of God, 50 in one cave and 50 in another, and he went back and forth feeding them, taking care of them, and Ahab never found out about it. And Elijah never even knew it. So here's Elijah saying, I'm the only one left. There was at least 100 prophets that had been hidden. God says to him, there's 7,000 that are out there. So I want you to know something. You're not the only one. You're not the only one. See, sometimes we think you're not alone in what you're doing. You're not alone in your job. You're not alone in the work. You're not alone in the ministry. You're not alone in feeling this way. People throughout history have felt like they're the only ones. But you're not ever the only one. God always has a remnant. He always has a remnant. There are always people who believe and follow the truth. Always. Always has them. You're never the last one. And there always will be. And so Elijah, you're not the only one. Well, he does one more thing. And look at this other thing. Gives him a friend. God gave Elijah a friend. The friend is Eli. It gives Elijah a friend. His name is Elisha. Elisha. In depression, we need somebody. We need a friend. We need somebody that's going to stick with us. It may be the person that counsels us. It may be the person that we go to and talk to, and they may be the friend that sticks by us. But sometimes we talk to somebody else. Sometimes the friend is different than the counselor. And you need a friend. You need somebody that will stand by you. And sometimes you need to be the one standing by somebody else. You may have a friend that's going through all of these kind of things, and you've been helping them. You stand by them. Look at verse 19. So he departed from there, and he found Elisha. He found him, the son of Shaphat, while he was plowing with 12 pair of oxen. That's a lot, by the way. Yeah, he's pretty good at plowing. And Elijah passed over to him and threw his mantle on him. Elijah took his mantle and put it on Elisha. Everybody knew, look, if you saw Elijah, what did you say? There's the prophet of God. Stand back out of the way. Hello, Elijah. You are the prophet of God. He comes up to Elisha, takes his mantle off, and puts it on him. He left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, let me go back and kiss my father and my mother, and I'll follow you. And he said, okay, go on back. So he returned from following him. He took a pair of oxen. He sacrificed them. He boiled their flesh with the implements on the oxen, gave it to the people, and they ate. And then he arose, and he followed Elijah. And what did he do? What does it say? He ministered to him. He's his friend. When David was going through his trials, who's David's best friend? Who is it? Jonathan, exactly. When Paul's going through his trials, who's his best friend? He had two guys. We had one that he said, I found nobody that matches me like this guy. Who is that? That's Timothy. We're fixing to start 2 Timothy next Sunday morning. Paul's best friend, his faithful son in the ministry. But Luke followed Paul around everywhere. So those two guys were always with Paul. Everybody needs somebody. There is no Lone Ranger Christians. There's no such thing. We don't go through the Christian life by ourselves. We have a group. That's why we have a body. That's why we meet corporately. Somebody could say, well, you have to go to church? No, you don't have to go to church to have salvation. But if you're going to be faithful, you've got to come together with fellow believers and form that unity and that community that comes with a body of believers. We need each other. Gene Getz says this. He says, what is a friend? A friend who multiplies joys and divides griefs. One who understands our silence. The one who comes in when the whole world has gone out. That's a friend. You know, some things happened about 4 years ago. And there were some of you that's in this room that if you hadn't been in my life, I'm not sure what would have happened to me. You were there. You were my friend. I read this, I thought it was kind of funny. There was a story of a man who lost his entire fortune. And his wife told a family member he had lost half of his friends. And they said, what about the other half? And she said, they don't know he lost his money yet. Elisha joined Elijah and ministered to him. So what have we seen that God did? God gave him met his physical needs. He allowed Elijah to talk. He showed him that he was in control, that God was in control. He gave him new responsibility. He showed him that you're not alone. There were 7,000, and he gave him a friend. Now, if you're going through depression, or you know somebody's going through depression, look at those things. They need physical help. They need somebody to talk to. They need to realize that God's in control. They need to realize that God's not through with them yet. They need to realize they're not alone in this thing, and they need you. And there may be some of us in this room that we need those things. So let me give you an application, and we'll break. And then next week, if you remember, next week now, we'll come in here at the very start, and we start our grow groups. If you haven't signed up for a grow group, there's still some places to sign up out in the lobby. Be sure and do that, because we'll come in here, we'll have a little study, and then we'll go into our grow groups. Recognize depression. Recognize what it is. Recognize that it happens. Expect it after a great high. Expect it on a Monday. expect it when something big has happened and you've put your heart into it. And whether it, and it may have been the greatest thing that ever happened to you. I guarantee you there's some people coming from those Olympic Games that won those gold medals, and it was the height of their life. And they're going to come back. And you know what one of the things they may say? Is this all it is? Is this it? That 30 seconds? I've worked my entire life to stand on a podium for 30 seconds. That's what happens. You ever thought about it? That some people, they work in a job, they work for 30, 35, 40, 40 years. At the end, they bring them in and go, thank you so much for all your work. And here's a little plaque. Thank you. And you go, is that all there is after 40 years? See, if we look at what's around us, we're going to always be depressed. You expect it. Expect it after great highs. Expect it after great things. Be aware that it could come. Second thing is, know the signs. You want to be by yourself. You're completely worn out. You're thinking the wrong way. You got problems. You think, oh, man, what's going to happen? I don't know what's going to happen. And the second thing is, just be ready to deal with depression. And let's think about it. Get physical provision, get rest and eat. That helps. If somebody's dealing with this, help them. Help yourself. Say, talk it out. Express what you're feeling. Find somebody to talk to, or you be the one that somebody else can talk to. Nothing helps better than to be able to just say, hey, listen, I got to talk to you. This is driving me nuts. What is it? Let me talk about it. Okay, that's good. Third thing, just realize God's in control. This is happening to you, but it's not out of control, and it's not fate or not chance or bad luck. God's working all things according to the counsel of his will. Trust in him. Keep serving. God will use you. You are not worthless. Your life is not over. He will take you where you are and use you for his glory. Realize you're not alone. You're not alone. All kind of people out there. Going through trials, going through problems, going through ups, going through downs, going through everything. You're not alone. And last but not least, get a friend. I love this story. This mother put her child on the bus, just started going to school, put her child on the bus, started cleaning the house. There was a knock at the door, and it was her son. And she said, what are you doing here? He said, I quit school. She said, why? He said, it's too long, it's too hard, and it's too boring. She said, get back on the bus. You just described life. Get back on the bus. That's true. Get a friend. Let me say this. I found this little quote. It said, I went out to find a friend. I couldn't find one there. I went out to be a friend, and friends were everywhere. You want a friend? Be a friend. That's how you get friends. You can't. I've had people come, visit a church, say, nobody was friendly. And then I've had people walk in and say, it's the friendliest people I've ever seen in my life. You know what the difference is? It's not us. Because our people, you come up that door, people are going, hey, come on in. Hey, let's take you want a bottle? We're going to get you a bottle right here. You know, we're going to take care of you. Yeah. May we look to the Word of God to help in times of depression.